to glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You can find us online at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. That's how you spell my name and how you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, too, afterthere.com/MikeLuoma. And look for our Facebook page, Glow in the Dark Radio's Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. I've got a mailing list as well. I only send something out about once a month, let you know what I'm up to. You can sign up for that on any of my sites, glowinthedarkradio.com, mikeluoma.com, or facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. It's also on the blog in the sidebar. When you do sign up for the mailing list, you get the exclusive Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's a PDF, ebook. It's an anthology. It's got an Unavailable Anywhere Else Alibi Jones short story, Alibi Jones and the Ghost in the Machine, that later got expanded into part of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. It also has previews of Vacation, the Alibi Jones comic book story, preview artwork from Good Samaritan 2, which has not yet been released. It's got excerpts from the very rare, hard-to-find Vatican Assassin Index. And it has some of the Vatican Assassin graphic novel in black and white. And all that, again, in a PDF you get for free when you sign up for the mailing list. And that's the only way to get it. So sign up at any of my sites. GlowInTheDarkRadio.com, MikeLuoma.com, or Facebook.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio. I've got Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on the way on this episode. The story's only just getting started. Alibi Jones, his ex-girlfriend Katie, went to the Dakar joining ceremony for their friend Kit on the getaway station Paradisimo. Unfortunately, a crime lord named René Lavallore thinks he owns Katie, and he raided the joining ceremony, or his people did, to grab her back. Kit's new joint mate, Trish, was killed in the raid. And it turns out the Dakur relic she was wearing for the ceremony, the tiara known as the Sunrise of Her, disappeared. Alibi Jones has been warned off of trying to get Katie back by Lavallore's right-hand man, Peterson. He's been told not even to set foot on René Lavallore's world, Kismet. But luckily, Alibi's son Anita found a new occupation to keep Alibi Jones out of trouble, she hopes. She's tasked him with finding the missing Sunrise of Her. So Alibi Jones begins his search as we get into Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Got a little bit of news before we get into Chapter 3. Want to apologize for the gaps between episodes. Thank you for bearing with me. Maybe it's given you a chance to go back and listen again and get psyched up for the new episode, the new chapter that's on the way today. I hope so. Once again, I'm re-editing the audio on these chapters, so this is Chapter 3 as it's never been presented before. In the news, I was mentioning on the last episode I did at the beginning of the month that I had just submitted the first issue of the Vatican Assassin graphic novel in color to Comixology. Well, the good news is they've accepted that issue. The even better news is that I've submitted issue 2 already, and they've already accepted that. They've already accepted that one. So both issue 1 and 2 of the Vatican Assassin graphic novel in color have now been accepted at Comixology. They'll be coming out on that platform. Yay! There's usually about a 3-month lag time, so I'm thinking we'll see them sometime in December. At least we should get the first one. I asked that we put them out every other month, but we'll see. Also good news, I got invited back to Aresia in Boston for January of 2018. Invited back to be a panelist and a guest for Aresia. Got some very nice feedback from my appearance there last year. back from the Aresia folks. You know, they take, they ask for crowd feedback after panels. And yeah, got some good ones. Or at least one good one. But yeah, they've invited me back to Aresia for Boston for January of 2018. Thought I'd share that. Aresia. And that's really it for news. So up next, we're going to get into Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hey guys, I'm Ray Belli, the host of Words for Granted, a brand new podcast that looks at how words change over time. Have you ever wondered where words come from or why they mean what they mean? Yeah? Well, me too. In fact, I think about these things all the time, and that's why I've created Words for Granted. It's kind of like an ongoing greatest hits compilation of the most fascinating word evolutions in the English language. Did you know that villain once meant farm worker, or that bead once meant prayer? The bottom line is, if you're a word nerd, let's be friends. You can find out more about the show at wordsforgranted.com and follow Words for Granted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I hope you tune in to the next show.
Now, here's Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
I can assure the Dakur people, the fat man in the recording says, as he looks directly into the camera, we did not take, nor do we have in our possession, your cultural treasure, the tiara known as the Sunrise of Her. René Lavallure is in his early 60s. He's dressed in an opulent purple and red silken smoking jacket, with a golden ascot tucked in below his clean-shaven chins. His straight salt-and-pepper hair sweeps down across his forehead and past his eyes. He blinks as he leans in to shut off the camera. The footage, on a loop, begins again. Hello, my friends. As I value the relationship between Kismet and her, I wanted to take the time to record this message of assurance.
Oh, cut it out.
The man's habit of pushing his sweep of hair away from his eyes every few minutes with a flip of his first two fingers annoys Alibi. He keeps watching the footage anyway, looking for something.
Man, God gives you a lot to hate.
And the footage of Lavallure, reassuring the Dakur, arrived with the info dump on the Sunrise of Her case his aunt sent earlier in the afternoon. Alibi has been poring over the material, trying to figure out his next step.
Alibi Jones, amateur detective. Yeah, right.
Alibi laughs at his own voice, echoing like an announcer in his mind. He's surprised. Focusing on the hunt for the Dakur's treasure has made him feel a little better in the few hours he's been at it. Leave it to his aunt.
A wiser woman than I'll ever admit. Don't think she'd be happy with how many times I've watched this slimeball, though. Studying him. Want him to be lying, but I don't think he is. If he is, he's damn good at it. Could be he's enjoying some authentic, plausible deniability. But it had to be one of his guys who grabbed the tiara. Maybe as a side job for some extra money. What was it my visitor said the robot man's name was? Chen?
Alibi knows where he wants to start. He's not sure it's the smartest place for him to show up, but everyone has made it clear Kismet itself is not an option.
Time to revisit the getaway station, Paradisimo. Check out the party room where it all happened. After all, Peterson didn't warn me away from Lavallure's other properties. Lavallure's not publicly associated with Paradisimo anyway. I'll clear it with Aunt Anita first. Make it official that way.
You ever been to Paradisimo before?
The guy in the seat next to Alibi on the commercial flight insists on making conversation. Every so often, as if to hear his own voice, he asks a question.
Yep, Alibi answers. Me neither, he says.
He's making conversation, just not listening to it.
When Alibi told his aunt he wanted to go back to Paradisimo, she suggested taking a commercial liner, a public transport ship. His aunt thought it would be less obvious and less provocative if he went to the station as just another traveler, rather than in his cruiser with its SAIF Mediation Corps markings. The extra time it takes annoys, but it's a trade-off. The solo traveler in the seat beside him is a single guy looking for some action on Paradisimo. The dark-haired man with the sloping forehead works in shipping and receiving at a small IMC branch on Cat's Eye. He's told Alibi about it a couple of times already, and it's not that long a trip. The man leans over Alibi to look out the viewport.
It's a getaway station, you know? Just outside the Solar Alliance and Dark Kerr jurisdiction, so you can really get away, you know?
Alibi gets a blast of hot pepperoni breath as the man asks. I know, Alibi says, thinking,
back off.
The man looks at him strangely and drops back into his seat, pouting. Alibi can't help himself. The man's been spouting back and repeating details about the station from travel sites for at least an hour now.
If I hear one more time about accommodations, games, rides, and attractions for the whole family, and a darker side as well, where the relaxed law level allows for nearly unlimited debauchery, I'm going to lose it. Who writes that stuff?
Alibi looks out the viewport as they approach Paradisimo. It doesn't look like much from the outside. It's a roughly spherical mass of metal, covered by a seemingly random array of lights, windows, and myriad hatches and panels. Transport ships dock near its poles. Alibi actually can't see much of the station from his seat on the public transport ship, but he remembers what it looks like. He'd piloted his own craft there before. He loses sight of the station as their ship maneuvers in toward the pole to dock at the Paradisimo spaceport. A loud clanging thud vibrates through the ship, announcing their docking. After a few minutes to seal and open the airlocks, the flight crew announces that passengers can exit the ship for the station. Alibi lets his seatmate get off well before he shuffles out of the liner with the rest of the other passengers. He walks into the terminal, trying to blend with the crowd. Alibi wears a plain green shirt and a pair of jeans, a brown coat over his right arm, his overnight pack hanging by its strap over his left shoulder.
Hope this helps me keep a low profile. Just another vacationer. Don't mind me.
Alibi Jones?
What? Who said that? Who knows me here?
Mr. Jones.
Alibi nearly walks into a short woman standing in front of him, trying to block his way forward.
Excuse me, Mr. Jones, the woman says.
Alibi backs up and looks down at her. The middle-aged Japanese woman is wearing a blue staff uniform, adorned with a patch bearing the Paradisimo station logo, a stylized green palm tree. She frowns a little as she looks up at him.
I'm Mimi Tanaka. I'll be your liaison and escort here on Paradisimo for the length of your investigation.
So much for my low profile.
Oh? I didn't know this was going to be so official, Alibi tells her.
Absolutely, Tanaka says. You are here as an investigator, a representative of the Solar Alliance. It's my job to see we cooperate in every legal way possible.
And to see you don't cooperate any more than you absolutely legally have to, I'm sure.
Nice to meet you, Ms. Tanaka, Alibi says with a nod.
Arrangements have been made for you for an overnight stay, she informs him. Would you like to check in at your lodging before proceeding?
Yes, please.
This way, she says, and turns.
She walks off, expecting Alibi to follow.
What the hell? Why not?
Tanaka shows him to his hotel, a mid to high-priced place, nicely appointed in a red and gold color scheme. The lobby is buzzing with tourists and vacationers coming and going. Families, couples. This hotel caters to a human clientele. Alibi doesn't see any Dakor around. Tanaka leads him behind the front desk. She facilitates his check-in and takes care of his room security herself.
Step up here, please. She directs him to look into the retinal scanner for a reading.
Then she has him place his right hand, palm down, on the security counter to scan his palm. More identification information for the hotel's security system.
Retina scan and palm printing? High security.
You're in room 513, Tanaka tells him. Go ahead on up to your room, drop off your things, and freshen up. I will wait for you here in the hotel lobby.
You'll wait for me?
I thought you would want to start your investigation immediately. Was I mistaken?
No, Alibi shakes his head. I guess I'll be right back. He shrugs.
Pressure much? Maybe coming here was a bad idea.
Alibi leaves Tanaka standing in the lobby as he heads for the bank of four elevators that line the back wall of the hotel's main foyer. He enjoys the brief solitude of the elevator ride to his floor. The door to room 513 opens after a press of his palm on the panel set in the corridor wall next to the door. He throws his coat and bag on the bed. With Tanaka waiting downstairs for him, Alibi tries not to spend too much time in the room. He's tempted to let her wait a while longer when he sees that the bathroom has an actual running water shower, but settles instead for a splash of cold water from the sink on his face. Then he heads back to the lobby. In the elevator on his trip back down to the lobby, Alibi briefly contemplates making a break for it, striking out on his own without Tanaka.
Yeah, right. Where would I go? They know I'm here now. Got my retina and palm prints, come to think of it. Damn. Might as well see if Tanaka can actually help me.
Tanaka plays at being helpful. She shows Alibi around the station, beginning with the room where the attack took place, or part of it.
We changed the configuration of this wing, Tanaka explains. We're always adapting the station for new uses, as need arises. When people are killed on board, as those poor Dakur were? Well, no one wants to hold their festivities in such a place now, do they? It needed to be repurposed.
Alibi stands where the front of the banquet hall used to be, looking around at what is now an automated dining alcove for a wing of newly fabricated hotel rooms. After the many replays in his dreams, he can still see events as they happened, overlaid on the now altered surroundings. The knot of emotions in his chest tightens and pulses with anger at Lavalore and his goons, tied up with heartbreak and grief at Trish's death and the loss of his friendship with Kit, disappointment at the loss of Katie, new frustration at having to follow Tanaka around, plus the pressure he's been getting at work. It makes Alibi's chest ache and his head hurt. He pinches the bridge of his nose and rubs his eyes for a little relief.
Headache? Tanaka asks. Sorta, he says. He blinks and gets his bearings. We waited until after the first investigation was finished, before making the changes, Tanaka says. The Dakur were quite thorough. We did not know the Solar Alliance would be sending someone in as well.
The Dakur asked us to look into it as well, quietly, Alibi says. After another glance at the repurposed murder scene, he admits to himself it's a dead end.
Could I speak to some of your Dakur waiters? Catering staff?
Tanaka does not look pleased. She purses her lips, thinking before she answers.
You can try, but most don't speak English, she tells him.
Oh, she's helpful, but not too helpful.
I'm sure you have translators on staff, he asks. Could you please have one join us?
I will be tactful. Nice, polite, but firm. Basic mediator training.
Her brow furrows.
I'll see what I can do, she says.
Could tell she was trying hard to come up with a reason not to provide one.
Thanks, Alibi replies, trying not to let sarcasm drip into his voice. After a brief wait, Tanaka reluctantly takes him where he asks to go. She is, however, apparently the only member of the Paradisimo staff who has been instructed to help Alibi. Everyone else on board the getaway station answers his questions only grudgingly, with suspicion or downright hostility. No one else is happy to have to speak to another investigator. They don't care if it's the Dakur or the Solar Alliance. They've already been bothered once about it and still have nothing to say on the matter.
I see you are disappointed, Tanaka tells Alibi after another fruitless round of interviews with serving staff who may or may not have been involved in the raid. I'm sorry you could not learn more, but I fear you have come to the wrong place. I know the Sunrise of Her was here for the joining day, but I do not believe the Dakur's treasure piece is here on Paradisimo any longer.
No kidding. I know what you believe.
Alibi's frustration strains his better judgment. Look, Alibi says to the woman, I'll be honest with you, Tanaka. I was hoping I could come here more unofficially and ask around less formally than what we've been doing here today. This isn't working, and I didn't think it would.
Yes, she says. Well, I'm sorry. But that would have needlessly stirred up the staff. You could not be allowed to merely roam freely.
Allowed? Allowed by who, Lavalor?
Tanaka darkens. Mr. Lavalor is but a primary investor in our employee-owned enterprise. We value his input and his support,
Tanaka recites. That sounds like the company line, Alibi cracks.
Mr. Lavalor has been entirely cooperative with the Solar Alliance. He has also cooperated with the Darkor. As a collector himself, Mr. Lavalor understands the priceless nature of the Sunrise of Hur, and the keen agony that its continued absence must cause the Darkur people.
Now that was definitely a company line, Alibi snaps back at her.
Getting a little sick of people parroting other people's words back at me.
Tanaka's calm demeanor cracks a hair. She looks a little hurt at Alibi's snapping.
You seem like a nice young man, Alibi, Tanaka says. You've got some sympathy here because you were a victim of the attack. But that sympathy is evaporating very quickly, I must warn you. These people are tired of cooperating with questioners.
Sorry, Ms. Tanaka, Alibi says, honestly trying to apologize this time. Like I said, that's kind of why I didn't want this whole thing to be so official. I'm a little frustrated, Alibi admits. This has turned out to have been kind of a dead end.
I could have told you that it would be, saved you the trouble you've just gone through. But I did not think you'd believe me, Tanaka says.
Look, Mr. Lavalor had us turn this place upside down looking for the thing, even before the Darkur investigation got underway. I'm sure that made it much easier for them, Alibi cracks. He doesn't stop the sarcasm from coloring his voice this time. She frowns up at him.
Mr. Lavalor values his independence,
Tanaka tells Alibi.
It would have been politically beneficial for him to have discovered the Sunrise of Hur, so he could return it to the Darkor himself. You do not have to believe me, Mr. Jones, but I can assure you, if it was on this station, it would have been found. You need to look elsewhere.
I see. Right. Alibi half-heartedly agrees.
So, you'll be leaving us then?
Trying to push me out? Maybe I should push back a bit.
Not just yet. I thought I'd enjoy the facilities for a day or two.
Oh, Tanaka says, a bit surprised. Well, you can stay until tomorrow morning. But otherwise, we're booked. We had to pull some strings to get you a room today, as a favor to the Solar Alliance. You will have to leave us tomorrow morning.
Really? Alibi says, taken aback. Subtle, huh?
Sorry, we have a business to run,
Tanaka says, matter of fact.
Can't have me getting in the way of it running smoothly, huh?
She ignores his attitude.
Enjoy yourself tonight, Alibi Jones. Your entertainment is on the house,
she informs him. Really? He's surprised, but he doesn't want to sound soft.
Wow, that's generous.
Alibi backs off on the sarcasm. I'm not a big spender or a major party person, so I won't run the tab up too high, he jokes, trying to soften the mood a little.
You're on your own then, Tanaka says, backing away from him. But if you need anything, just ask the station staff to get in touch with me.
She cracks a small smile, her first of the day.
Enjoy your stay, she says,
intending the irony. She turns and walks off, leaving Alibi standing alone in the hotel lobby.
Think I'll find a bar. See if I can find the darker side. Maybe find out if any of the more disreputable types around here know anything.
Alibi doesn't find a lot of disreputable folks hanging around the parts of Paradisimo he's allowed access to. He wanders around station corridors, but finds many doors locked and most parts of the station closed off to him. Every door Alibi comes across marked official access only makes him more frustrated as he wonders what hides behind it.
Sunrise of Hur? You in there?
Still wandering, Alibi turns away from yet another dead-end door and walks back up the corridor. He looks around at the intersection with a crossing corridor, looking for cameras. There are myriad small mirrors that make up the decor that covers the walls. Any or all of them, could be Camera's eyes.
Bet every inch of this place is under surveillance.
Alibi waves at whatever eyes might be on him as he leaves the dead-end corridor. He walks back to his hotel's lobby. He's not tired enough to go to sleep yet, but the search seems pointless. Giving up, he seeks out the hotel's bar to have a couple of beers.
Maybe that'll help me sleep.
Once seated at the bar and served a cold one, Alibi stares at the surface of the pint and contemplates his investigation and how messed up his life has become.
If I find the Sunrise of Her, maybe I can patch things up with Kit.
You look awful deep in thought, the bartender says, interrupting Alibi's mini reverie.
Yeah, Alibi answers absently.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, the man says. Looked like you might want to talk about it.
Nah, Alibi says. It's okay. Just running into some dead ends.
Not finding what you're looking for?
The man asks.
Is the bartender pumping me for information?
The bartender leans toward him.
I've got a contact in the social division, he whispers hoarsely. If you want, I can make a call for you. Get a girl to visit your room.
Maybe I'm getting paranoid. The guy's just pimping.
No, thanks. Alibi demurs.
A boy, if you'd rather.
No, not what I meant. Not interested. The bartender backs up and glances around after Alibi's outburst.
Sorry, buddy, just trying to help.
The guy shakes his head.
You want to spend your time feeling sorry for yourself instead. You go right ahead.
Think I will, Alibi says, a little louder than he intended. He stands up. I'll spend my time my own way. Thanks. Charge that beer to my room, huh?
Sure thing, Mr. Jones.
Hearing the man use his name stops Alibi in his tracks. Suspicious, he looks back over his shoulder at the bartender.
You're all set, the man says. Tanaka's taking care of your accounts.
The bartender goes back to cleaning up, loading pint glasses into the small refresher behind the bar. Thanks, Alibi says. Sorry if I snapped there. Long day.
Sure.
Alibi walks back through the lobby to catch an elevator to his room.
Was he pumping me for information? So what if he was? Didn't have any to give him.
Spending my time wasting time, Alibi says to himself as he rides up in the elevator.
I've only got a week to find the Sunrise of Her. Less than that now. Not much time.
Thinking about time inspires Alibi. Gives him an idea for where to go next. He'll visit the man who's even now experimenting with tachyons, probing the very nature of time.
Maybe Krish will know something. At least he might know where to look. Maybe his contacts that seek out interesting artifacts and items for him, like that bulkhead piece from the Eldridge ship last year, have heard something about a Dakur rarity. Maybe he'll have some idea of where I can go next. Maybe he can send me back in time, give me more time to find this thing, or to stop the whole thing from happening in the first place. Imagine that!
By the time he's arrived at his room, Alibi has decided to visit old family friend Dr. Krishnavurti. He books passage the next morning for Rigel 4, the colony where Krish lives.
That was Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio. Off to see the wizard, or Krish. Very similar, as it turns out. Well, whether there wasn't anything to find, or Lavalor made it so there wasn't anything to find, Alibi Jones hit a dead end on the Paradisimo getaway station. We'll see what direction Krish helps point him in on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. I hope you'll return for more of Alibi's adventures. Again, a little news recap. Both issue 1 and 2 of the Vatican Assassin graphic novel have now been accepted at Comixology. Hopefully see them sometime in December, if not sooner. And I've been invited back to Aresia in Boston in January of 2018, so hope to see you there. That's a little bit of a news recap. We'll be back with more of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.